We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Away we go, episode 792 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Wednesday, March 27, 2024. It is day four of the NFL's annual league meeting, aka the owners' meetings in Orlando, Florida, the day after a day of monumental change in the NFL. The kickoff, as we have known it, is no more. The NFL on Tuesday morning announced various changes to rules, bylaws, and resolutions. Don't forget the resolutions. You have the rules, you have the bylaws, and you have the resolutions. But among those changes, the NFL Competition Committee for 1 year amending Rule 6, quote, to create a new form of a free kick play that is designed to, one, resemble a typical scrimmage play by aligning players on both teams closer together and restricting movement to reduce space and speed, and two, promote more returns, end quote. And so what will happen for at least the 2024 season, and I'm thinking far beyond, is that a kicker will continue to kick off from a 35-yard line, but the other 10 players on the kickoff team will line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line, and at least 9 members of the return team will line up in the so-called setup zone between the 35 and 30-yard lines, and up to 2 returners can line up in a so-called landing zone between the goal line and the 20-yard line. Here's the deal. The NFL now is going with the kickoff format that originated in the XFL. And I am here for this. I really like this. The kickoff in the NFL had become obsolete, largely due to safety concerns and kickers being so good at blasting kickoffs for touchbacks. Well, this new setup for the kickoff will almost certainly lead to a massive spike in kickoff returns. For the first time in a long time, kickoff returns are about to truly matter in the NFL. Hello and welcome to this Wednesday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. What, as of Tuesday morning, was the number 62 podcast in this country in the U.S. football category on Apple Podcasts. A thank you to you for that. Also announced by the NFL on Tuesday morning was the moving back of the NFL trade deadline, which now will be on the Tuesday after week 9. Had been on the Tuesday after week 8. The Commanders and 5 other NFL teams had wanted the trade deadline pushed back to the Tuesday after week 10. I would have been fine with that, but at least now the trade deadline is on the Tuesday after week 9. Having the trade deadline on the Tuesday after week 8 was ridiculous. I mean, that is less than halfway into the 18-week regular season. And the NFL on Tuesday morning announced that an NFL team now can, quote, place a maximum of 2 players who are placed on an applicable reserve list on the business day of the final roster reduction to be designated for return. Such players will immediately count as two of the club's total designations, end quote. What that means is that a team now can place a player on the reserve injured list before the cutdown to 53 and still bring that player back during the regular season. Previously, placing a player on the reserve injured list before the cutdown to 53 meant that he was done for the season. Well, surely tracking all of these changes on Tuesday morning were the Commanders. And we on Tuesday heard from two prominent members of the team's management, the lead owner, managing partner Josh Harris, and the head coach Dan Quinn. Next segment, I'll examine the best of what Josh Harris said in his session with reporters on Tuesday afternoon, including a lot on the Commander Stadium situation, and then the following segment, I'll discuss the best of what Dan Quinn said in his session with reporters at the NFC Coaches Breakfast on Tuesday morning. You will hear the man known as DQ address the Commander's quarterback decision via the number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. You will hear DQ provide insight on how he views corner Emmanuel Forbes Jr. and linebacker Jamin Davis. And you will hear DQ explain why the team chose safety Jeremy Chinn over safety Cameron Curl. Also on the show, the Capitals. Huge win on Tuesday night. A 4-3 overtime win over the Detroit Red Wings at Capital One Arena. The Caps now are 13-5-1 over their last 19 games. The Caps for this regular season now have 81 points, so 2 points ahead of the Red Wings for the Eastern Conference's second and final wildcard spot. A proper salute to the Caps later in the show. Before we get to some feedback, Nationals news. They on Tuesday afternoon announced that they had transferred infielder Trey Lipscomb to minor league camp. So it turns out that he is not making their major league regular season opening roster. That is surprising. Lipscomb had a terrific exhibition season and was looking as if he may have supplanted Luis Garcia as the Nats' number one second baseman. But the Nats are having Lipscomb begin his 2024 regular season in the minors, and Garcia, for now, appears to be the Nats' starting second baseman. We on Tuesday afternoon had the Nats' final game of the 2024 exhibition season, a 13-1 win over Nationals Futures at Nationals Park in a game pitting Nats players against Nats prospects, and the players very much bested the prospects, whose starting pitcher was Jackson Rutledge. He got shellacked 12 runs in 3 2/3 innings. As for the Orioles, they on Tuesday evening at Oriole Park at Camden Yards were to have had a workout open to fans and a rally for fans. The team still had the workout, but the workout was not open to fans, and there was no rally. This, of course, due to the tragedy early Tuesday morning, the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge off a cargo ship ramming into the bridge. The video of that incident, unreal. I mean, just awful. You know, that happened as I was finishing Tuesday's show, episode 791. And what I usually do when I'm done doing a show is try to sleep for a few hours. But I'm not someone who can just fall asleep right away. So I usually end up watching or reading stuff on my iPad for a while. And the video of what happened with the bridge, I kept watching. I mean, it was like something out of a movie, that video was. Just did not seem real. So thoughts and prayers with the victims and their families, and, you know, whatever lessons need to be learned from this better be learned, but it's just not yet clear what those lessons are. You know, Wednesday was supposed to be a glorious day in Baltimore, with it being expected that MLB owners on Wednesday would formally approve the sale of the O's from the Angelos family to the group being led by private equity billionaire David Rubenstein. That approval still should be coming on Wednesday, but obviously now not a time for celebration in Baltimore. But opening day for both the Nats and the O's is on Thursday. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Email from Billy D in NC on a potential new nickname for for the Commanders, who now have gone from having a bunch of executives, coaches, and players from the Carolina Panthers to now having a bunch of coaches and players from the Dallas Cowboys, writes Billy D. Congratulations on approaching 800 episodes of the podcast. Awesome job. Quick question. With the end of the Commanders era and the arrivals of numerous Cowboys coaches and players, what is the new nickname that we are going to use to affectionately refer to our football team? Are we now the Comboys or the Cowanders or the Washdowls? What do you think? Thank you for the email, Billy. Great question. Comboys versus Cowanders versus Washdowls. Well, if you go by the name Commanders, it, of course, is a combination of Commanders and Panthers, with the first half of the word coming from Commanders and the second half of the word coming from Panthers. So by that formula, the new nickname should be Comboys, because that has the first half of the word coming from Commanders and the second half of the word coming from Cowboys. But I kind of like Cowanders better, okay? I don't know about you. I kind of like Cowanders. Cowanders sounds funnier to me than Comboys does, although Cowanders gives precedence to Cowboys over Commanders in terms of the first half of the word versus the second half of the word. So we'll have to think about this. Email from Phil on the Commanders salary cap situation, writes Phil. Congratulations on the 3-year anniversary of the podcast. Your show is an enjoyable part of my daily routine. Here's to many more years to come. I'm wondering if you can explain why not spending 2024 salary cap space is the best thing to do for the Commanders' rebuild. I've had trouble understanding that point. It's not like they can carry 2024 cap space to a future year. I'd appreciate it if you could help connect the dots. Thank you. Well, thank you for the email, Phil. And actually, an NFL team can carry over salary cap space. This probably does not get talked about enough, but yes, an NFL team can carry over salary cap space, kind of like rollover minutes for cell phones back when most people did not have unlimited minutes on cell phone plans. But the actual salary cap for each NFL team varies, due in part to carry over cap space. The actual cap for an NFL team is based on the base salary cap for that league year, the team's carryover cap space, and then other adjustments, which include a bunch of stuff, things like incentives that counted on the cap for the previous league year but were not earned, credits for bonus repayments, guaranteed salary offsets, per-game bonus credits, a bunch of stuff. There is a lot that goes into an NFL team's cap situation, but yes, cap space can be carried over. And so from a Commander's perspective, I think that it makes total sense to, yes, spend this offseason as needed, but also carry over a good bit of cap space into next offseason, when the Commanders will have a much better idea of where they're at with their quarterback situation and where they're at, period, with the new football operations regime. You know, what is needed on offense and defense a season into the new regime? And Phil, in his email, referred to the Commanders' rebuild. I don't know that Dan Quinn would be happy with that, given that he, at his introductory press conference as Commanders head coach on February 5th, said that the team is recalibrating, not rebuilding. Heck, General Manager Adam Peters, in his session with reporters on Monday afternoon at the annual league meeting, said that the team is recalibrating, not rebuilding. We had this exchange with Commanders insider Sam Fortier of the Washington Post.
One thing I don't think we've asked you, and I apologize if we have, is before, I think, the end of the season, John Allen was on the radio talking about how he might not have the appetite to go through another rebuild. Do you expect him to be with the team this year?
Well, we're recalibrating, so we're not rebuilding.
That's right. Recalibrating, not rebuilding. Very important distinction. Well, there are many distinctions for the great law firm of Paulson and Nace. Heck, it recently was named as part of U.S. News and World Report's Best Law Firms 2024 edition. If you have been harmed by the negligence of someone else, or if someone who you care about has been harmed by the negligence of someone else, always know that Paulson and Nace is there for you. If you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace. Call 202-902-7611, and when you call, make sure that you tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson and Nace has won millions of dollars for clients. Paulson and Nace is a Washington, D.C.-based family law firm that handles medical malpractice, personal injury, birth injury, legal malpractice, and consumer protection cases, offering aggressive advocacy for victims in Washington, D.C. and West Virginia. Paulson and Nace fights for victims of all kinds of situations, including victims of errors made during diagnosis, during surgery, or with medication, victims of injuries caused by dangerous medications or medical devices, as well as defective auto parts, victims of accidents involving cars, trucks, bikes, or motorcycles, victims of deceptive trade practices and false advertising, heck, victims of shady lawyers. If your attorney acts in bad faith, is unethical, and his or her counsel, or is negligent in his or her work, you could have a claim for legal malpractice. Paulson and Nace has represented corporate clients throughout the region. Attorneys Chris Nace and Matt Nace are experienced trial attorneys who are not afraid to take cases to trials, and that's because Paulson and Nace wins trials. If you feel that you've been wronged, if you think that you've been wronged, but aren't sure, call Paulson and Nace and schedule a no-obligation appointment. Call 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. And when you call, tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. You can also visit PaulsonandNace.com. That's PaulsonandNace.com. Don't forget to tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson and Nace, if you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, if you are listening to this podcast via Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can rate the podcast with a star rating. 5-star ratings are greatly appreciated. They help us out a lot. Thank you for doing them. So we on Tuesday, what was day 3 of the NFL's annual league meeting, aka the owners meetings in Orlando, Florida, had both Commanders head coach Dan Quinn and Commanders managing partner Josh Harris speaking with reporters. Quinn spoke with reporters on Tuesday morning at the NFC coaches breakfast. Harris spoke with reporters on Tuesday afternoon. Next segment, I'll discuss what Quinn had to say. This segment, I'll discuss what Harris had to say. A big topic during Harris's session with reporters on Tuesday afternoon was the Commanders Stadium situation. The team's current stadium, formerly known as FedEx Field, now known as Commanders Field, is, as you may have heard, not so good. The team's agreement to play at Commanders Field expires in September 2027. And I say agreement because it reportedly is not a lease. It is an obligation agreement. So the team can keep playing its home games at the stadium beyond September 2027. We, for years, have had the team wanting a new stadium. Heck, we first heard of the team having started a quest for a new stadium all the way back in August 2014. This via an interview that the team's then lead owner, Dan Snyder, did with what was then Comcast Sportsnet Mid-Atlantic and now is Monumental Sports Network. But boy, August 2014, we're now in March 2024. What the team has wanted for years has been a three-way bidding war between Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. That never truly happened with Dan as owner, but that might be happening with new ownership. A big item right now is this legislation in Congress, the D.C. Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Stadium Campus Revitalization Act, which was passed by the House of Representatives on February 28th, still must pass the Senate. But this is a crucial piece of legislation for the Commanders' next stadium being where so many wanted to be, the RFK Stadium land in D.C. The D.C. Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Stadium Campus Revitalization Act would transfer the administration of the Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Stadium campus, i.e., the RFK Stadium land, from the National Park Service to the General Services Administration, the GSA, to facilitate leasing the campus to D.C. In other words, the bill would pave the way for D.C. to have control of the federally owned RFK Stadium land, potentially for the purpose of a new Commander Stadium, although there is staunch opposition within D.C. to the Commander's next stadium being on the RFK Stadium land. Also, we, during this week's NFL Annual League meeting, have had team owners approving $86.5 million in funding for improvements to Commanders Field. We first heard about these improvements via an announcement from the Commanders on February 28th. Quote, "Today the Washington Commanders announced additional upgrades to FedEx Field, bringing targeted investments in improving the stadium and fan and player experience to a total of more than $75 million once completed since new ownership purchased the team in July. The upgrades will be noticeable from the moment fans enter the parking lots and include faster entry into the stadium, new premium seating options and suite experiences, improved food and beverage options, and sound system upgrades. The stadium also will be getting a structural refresh, including upgrades to elevators and escalators, water and mechanical systems, and other infrastructure improvements." End quote. So with all of that as a backdrop, this was Josh Harris on Tuesday afternoon on the Commander's Stadium situation.
Yeah, look, we've been focused on the stadium. Obviously, you saw the $86 million announcement of what we're doing with, you know, with FedEx Field. But now we're also focused on our new home. And so in that regard, we're in pretty deep, we're doing site plans across three jurisdictions. We're in deep discussion with Maryland, but at the same time, we're continuing to pursue, the possibility of having a site at RFK. And, you know, that process is a political process. So the first thing that has to happen is D.C. has to have the rights to the RFK land. And they the House agreed to that in a bipartisan vote. But now we need the Senate to act and the president to sign that bill. And then we can really start to have discussions with D.C. And so that's what we've made some progress there, obviously, but we need to make more.
Very true. And did you notice that Josh Harris called what now is Commander's Field FedEx Field?
What we're doing with, with FedEx Field.
Yeah, there you go. Going to take a while to get used to not saying FedEx Field. You know, we as fans of this team have had so many name changes in recent years, right? The multiple name changes with the team, now the name change to the stadium. The team's stadium saga has taken so many twists and turns over the last decade, so it's almost foolish to try to label Washington, D.C., Maryland, or Virginia as the favorite for the Commanders' next stadium. Stick around a while, and whatever your answer is now probably will change, okay? Public sentiment clearly is with D.C. I think that Josh Harris's sentiment probably is with D.C. Personally, I am not a D.C. or bust person with the new stadium. I may well be in the minority on that, but I think that this idea that the team's next stadium has to be in D.C. is overrated. Now, I'm not against the team's next stadium being in D.C., but I don't view D.C. as like the slam dunk absolute has to be location for the team's next stadium. And the notion of, hey, that's where the team stadium was in the glory days, well, that is true, okay? But that's not a good enough reason for D.C. to be the location of the team's next stadium. It's 2024. It's not 1984. Things change. The Washington, D.C. of 2024 is not the Washington, D.C. of 1984. And so many areas in Maryland and Virginia are so much different than those areas were in 1984. Those areas are so much more populated and are so much wealthier than those areas were in 1984. Again, I'm not like against D.C. being the site of the team's next stadium. And I certainly get the RFK Stadium nostalgia. Trust me, I grew up as a Redskins fan in the 1980s and 1990s, but you can't be stuck in the past. You have to do what's right for now, not what was right 40 years ago. Here was Josh Harris on Tuesday afternoon on D.C. versus Maryland versus Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, I think that each jurisdiction wants us there, right? So ultimately, it's about, you know, kind of establishing really how we might have a dialogue. And that starts with, you know, us having kind of a view on what we would do and sort of looking at an overall, you know, master plan, an overall site plan. And so that's where we are right now.
Okay. Now, of course, there is another major stadium slash arena situation in the DMV right now. The Capitals slash Wizards arena situation. Monumental Sports and Entertainment founder, chairman, principal partner, and CEO Ted Leonsis and Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, they this past December 13th, my birthday, announced an agreement for a new arena in the Potomac Yard area of Alexandria, Virginia for Capitals and Wizards home games beginning with the team's 2028-2029 seasons. But things since then have not gone so smoothly. We on this podcast have not spent a ton of time on this situation because, quite frankly, I find this situation to be tedious. And so until we have a definitive outcome of this situation, I'm not really that interested in getting sucked into the weeds in this situation. But there now are serious questions about if this new arena is gonna actually happen. We on Tuesday afternoon had this exchange between Commanders insider Ben Standig of The Athletic and Josh Harris.
With regards to, I don't know, I'm sure you're paying attention to the Wizards and Capitals arena discussion, how much has that been factored into as you're thinking about it? Because obviously, depending on where that lands, could impact possibly what happens with your stadium.
Of course. I mean, obviously, we're, you know, super focused on that, but Ted, you know, and Monument Sports is doing what they think is the right thing for their franchise. We're certainly watching it and, you know, looking at it and learning from it. And but there's not a lot we can do to affect that process. So we're a little bit removed from it. But clearly, you know, what happens there could have implications. So we're following it and we wish them well.
And as our friend Ben Standing noted, the Capitals slash Wizards arena situation matters to the Commanders from a standpoint of if that arena in Alexandria does not happen, then that potentially would make Virginia more of a player for the Commanders' next stadium. For a while, talking about the team's next stadium was like short for saying a bunch of things, was short for saying the team's next stadium, and a number of other items, a new team headquarters, a retail area, maybe even a Skins/Washington Football Team/Commanders Museum. But the more recent sentiment has been that the Commanders' next team headquarters might not be in the same location as the team's next stadium. Why? Gambling. The team in FanDuel in January 2021, quote, announced the first ever market access partnership between a National Football League team and an online sports gaming platform in the U.S. Under the terms of this agreement, FanDuel and the Washington Football Team launched legal sports betting in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Under Virginia sports wagering law, the Washington Football Team was given preference for a mobile sports betting permit based on it meeting certain criteria for sports franchises headquartered in Virginia, and the option to partner with an established sports wagering operator to run the business. The Washington Football Team has chosen the FanDuel Sportsbook as its operational partner to jointly hold the permit. End quote. Again, that was from January 2021. So there is a belief that that agreement means that the Commanders' team headquarters are staying in Virginia, regardless of where the team's next stadium is. Josh Harris on Tuesday afternoon on if the team's next headquarters need to be where the team's next stadium is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've really thought about it. I don't think the... You know, the two necessarily have to be in the same place. I mean, I think it works kind of, it works fine. You know, so, and especially when you have three jurisdictions, you know, obviously you want to think about, you know, what's the best thing to engage the whole community.
All right. Also regarding the Commanders team headquarters, it was on February 28th, which it turns out was quite the day, right? I've referenced that day now three times in this segment, but it was on February 28th. That we had the NFL Players Association coming out with the NFLPA's second batch of NFL player team report cards for player care and player treatment. The Commanders, for a second consecutive year, ranked number 32 out of 32 NFL teams in overall report card. And among the grades, weight room C, food slash cafeteria D plus, locker room F minus, training room, F minus. Not just an F, but an F minus, and not just once, but twice, two F minuses. We on Tuesday afternoon had this exchange between Commanders insider J.P. Finley of NBC4 and Josh Harris.
Obviously, the stadium is a pressing issue, but what about the practice facility and just, you know, remodeling it or looking for something new? I'm sure you saw that NFLPA report card, and that had to be kind of troubling.
Yeah, I'm not an F minus guy, so I didn't even know you could get an F minus. Obviously we've jumped all over that. I mean, first of all, that report was based on interviews that occurred, you know, right around the ownership change. So, but having said that, like, it's clearly something that we're focused on. In fact, you know, Adam and Dan had to leave the NFL meetings briefly to go have a discussion with architects that are, we're trying to make a lot of changes there quickly. And obviously it starts with the NFL player community is a small community. The NFL coaching community is a small community. You want to be a place that everyone says, that's a great place to be, and therefore we need to upgrade that facility, and we are upgrading that facility, and there's only so much you can do prior. You know, obviously we have to look at, okay, how much can we do? It's a lot like the situation we were in when we took over last July, like there's only so much you can do by the start of the season. There's only so much we can do by the start of training camp, and we're going to do that, and it's going to be about the player experience, the player lounge, refinishing, you know, a bunch of things. But we have a lot more planned in terms of looking at the playing surface itself, looking at the locker room, looking at, you know, the bathroom facility. So everything we can do right now to make our players feel great about coming to work, feel comfortable, feel well taken care of, we're going to do.
And that, of course, is the right attitude. Well, the right attitude about us now being in spring is being prepared for next winter, And Nova Fireplace and Stove has you covered. Nova Fireplace and Stove offers fireplace safety inspections, fireplace tune-ups, and gas fireplace repairs. And if yours is a fireplace that burns wood, Nova Fireplace and Stove offers chimney safety inspections and chimney cleanings. And if you have a masonry fireplace, listen up. Nova Fireplace and Stove right now is offering the following deal to listeners of the Al Galdi podcast: an in-stock wood insert at an extremely discounted price, just $6,000 plus tax. The usual price is $9,000 plus tax, so this is a 33% discount, and the $6,000 plus tax includes installation, permit, and county/city inspection, and you can get a government-funded tax credit as well, up to $2,000, dropping the price to just $4,000, all things considered. Nova Fireplace and Stove is outstanding. It is family-owned. It is a five-star dealer. Visit NovaFireplaceAndStove.com to check out customer reviews and call Nova Fireplace and Stove, 571-513-3803. Talk to General Manager Stuart Moore. He's a big Commanders fan. He's a loyal listener of this podcast. And make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. Nova Fireplace and Stove also installs generators, water heaters, security lights, and custom outdoor kitchens. There is so much that Nova Fireplace and Stove can do for you. Contact Nova Fireplace and Stove and get the customer service that you deserve. 571-513-3803, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. That's Nova Fireplace and Stove, 571-513-3803, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. More now on the Commanders. Head coach Dan Quinn on Tuesday morning in Orlando, Florida at the NFC Coaches Breakfast at the NFL's annual league meeting spoke with reporters for about 30 minutes. Something that the NFL does for teams with new head coaches is give those teams head starts on offseason workout programs. Teams with new head coaches can begin 2024 offseason workout programs this Monday, April 1st. Teams with returning head coaches cannot begin 2024 offseason workout programs until Monday, April 15th. This was Dan Quinn on Monday morning on what starts for the Commanders next week, and then you'll hear a follow-up exchange with Commanders insider J.P. Finley of NBC4.
One thing I know I am damn fired up about is next Tuesday, getting started with the team. And so I'm really looking forward to that and being around the guys and starting, you know, officially our off-season program. So that's why I coach, you know, is the connections and the relationships with the players. So I'm certainly looking forward to building them. You don't have that chance until it really begins. And so that's why I'm all lit up about next week getting rocking.
How helpful is it that you guys get that extra early start being a new coach with a new team?
Yeah, and I think, by design, it's there for that reason, you know, to give a little longer runway to build those relationships. We'll get an opportunity to get on the field, you know, with the camp, you know, one extra time. So we'll certainly take advantage of, you know, all the, you know, the options that the league gives us. We're just trying to find an edge, like, in every single thing, and having those camps and starting early is another example of that.
Yes, it is. Finding edges, that is something that managing partner Josh Harris has talked about, and we right there heard that theme from Dan Quinn. Quinn on Tuesday morning, of course, got asked about the Commanders' quarterback decision via their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. We on Tuesday's show, episode 791, had some scheduled fun with the extent to which general manager Adam Peters seemingly has the rest of the NFL in the dark on what the team is thinking with that number 2 overall pick. Well, Quinn on Tuesday morning said that he is just now truly digging into studying players in the 2024 draft. Consider this exchange with Commanders insider Ben Standig of The Athletic.
You said you're just kind of diving into the college tape now, the prospect tape. That said, there's a lot of people who are projecting what you guys are going to do at 2, and specifically the quarterback. So how do you kind of square with people saying they think they know what you guys are going to do, but the head coach has not finished watching the tape yet?
That is absolutely accurate. And so if somebody thinks they know, they'll have to fill me in, because Adam and I, we're not there yet. And so once we get – that's okay. Once we do – but – let's go through the whole thing. And that's actually a really fun part of this, to make sure that you don't rush it. You know, for us, our whole, all these picks, like, we're going to add a lot of really good players at a lot of positions. So I know quarterback gets a lot of the attention, and, like, as it should, it's a story here everywhere, but there's a lot of players. And the team has been set up in a good space, you know, with a lot of picks for this year's draft. So that'll be one of the storylines, but it won't be the storyline.
Well, quarterback is the number one storyline with our team in the 2024 draft. There's no getting around that, but I get what Dan Quinn was saying there. Here was Quinn on Tuesday morning on the role of offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury in the team's quarterback decision.
Yeah, and it's a big role because we are collaborative, and so the more input that you can get, the better. We want us to be really specific that we're looking at guys in the same way, asking the same questions, doing the same things at workout. So when you're trying to compare, you're not pulling from all different spaces. But Cliff's experience, certainly, in the college game, you know, his experience can help too. That's a good, you know, bridge for us to say, here's what his read was, here's what's looking at. So he's been excellent.
I would say this about Cliff Kingsbury. He is the Commanders offensive coordinator, and with an impressive history with quarterbacks and with an impressive history as a quarterback himself, should have input in the Commanders quarterback decision. But, you know, it's a funny deal with Kingsbury, because if things go well for him as Commanders offensive coordinator, he'll only be here for a short period of time, like maybe a few seasons, maybe even just one season. You know, the idea for him would seem to be to get another NFL head coaching job. So he's likely going into being the Commanders offensive coordinator with the goal of not being the team's offensive coordinator for too long. Wednesday and Thursday are notable days in the Commanders draft prep. We on Wednesday have LSU's pro day, i.e. showcase day for LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels. We on Thursday have North Carolina's pro day, i.e. showcase day for UNC quarterback Drake May. Dan Quinn on Tuesday morning on what he looks for at pro days.
Yeah, I think for all the guys, one, you want to see just really the person. You know, how do they interact with their teammates? What do they look like? What's some of the movements? Because certainly for the positions, the most important things is the tape. You know, how they do as a ball player. And so that's where it starts and ends with me. But I do love going to their school, whether it's at a pro day or a visit, and just spending time with them, asking them questions. How do they learn it? What does it look like? Tell me about your system. So it's more the discussions more than anything else. And then on the field, it's usually pretty quick. You guys have seen some of the ones and been to some of the ones. So they happen quickly. The quarterbacks are very orchestrated in terms of this, this, this. Same thing with like a running back or a wide out. These are the routes. So it's more the movements. And then honestly, I want to get to know the man before the ball player. So I've scouted the ball player at the days like that. In the interviews, I want to get to know a little bit more about the man and see if we'd be a good fit for one another.
Some good stuff from Dan Quinn on Tuesday morning on two of Washington's last three first-round picks. We start with the team's first-round pick in the 2023 draft, corner Emmanuel Forbes Jr., who, of course, had a really bad rookie season. He got torched. He got benched. He, in the 2023 regular season, over 14 games, had an overall grade per Pro Football Focus of 50.9. That is not good. PFF grades are on a scale of 0 to 100. The hope is that Dan Quinn and defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. and defensive pass game coordinator Jason Simmons and defensive backs coach Tom Donatell can get Emmanuel Forbes on track. He does have talent. A bad rookie season does not have to define him. But yeah, that was a bad rookie season. Dan Quinn on Tuesday morning on what has stood out to him in watching tape of Emmanuel Forbes. And then you'll hear a follow-up exchange with JP Finley.
I'll even go back further because I did a lot of work on him coming from the draft before then. And I think probably the number one thing that stood out was the ball skills and the ability to go take the ball, eliminate it. And so when you have that kind of rare ball skills and return ability with it, that's his superpower. That's, I think, what makes him so unique. And so we'll certainly try to, you know, accentuate that. But that's the thing that jumped out to me more than anything is he has got this rare ability to to find the ball. And as you guys know, playing DB, it's not like the catches are here. It could be behind you. It could be down low. And so the ability to track a deep ball, that's a real trait that you want to look for if you want to get good at takeaways, and he's got it.
You work with the DBs you guys did in Dallas. How do you get Forbes back on track to what you saw coming out of college?
I think, like with everybody on the team, like it's all about our competition. And so we want it at every single position, and it's really the central theme in what we do. So whether we're in the off-season workouts or at practice, just to make sure, hey, this is how we're going to start. So there's not any different levels of people. Everybody's learning the systems all at the same exact space. So, like, the competition will be the one that really drives that. And we're really looking forward to working with them.
Dan Quinn is big on identifying and highlighting what he calls players' superpowers. And there's no doubt that takeaways were a superpower for Emmanuel Forbes in college. Forbes, over three seasons at Mississippi State, generated 14 interceptions in 36 games. He left college number one among active FBS players in career interceptions. And he left college as the FBS's all-time leader in career pick sixes with six. Also, Joe Witt Jr. has a sensational history coaching secondaries that produce interceptions. So Witt was the Dallas Cowboys secondary coach and defensive passing game coordinator from January 2021 to this past February. That span coincided precisely with Dan Quinn's time as Cowboys defensive coordinator. The Cowboys, over the 2021 through 2023 regular seasons, had an NFL best 59 interceptions. But it's not just that. Witt was with the Green Bay Packers for the 2008 through 2018 seasons. He, for the 2008 season, was a Packers defensive quality control coach. For the 2009 through 2017 seasons, was the Packers secondary dash cornerbacks coach. And for the 2018 season, was the Packers defensive passing game coordinator. The Packers, over their 10 regular seasons, with Witt having a major role in the secondary, 2009 through 2018, were number one in the NFL in interceptions with 176. So you'd like to think that Joe Witt can work some of that magic with Emmanuel Forbes. What about Washington's first round pick in the 2021 draft, linebacker Jamin Davis? The team in the coming weeks has to decide on the fifth year option in Jamin Davis's rookie contract. I'd be surprised if the team exercised that. He, over his three NFL seasons, has demonstrated some improvement, but he overall has been a disappointment, especially when you factor in his off the field problems. However, what has come up with Jamin Davis is Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. truly tapping into Jamin's athleticism and using him in a better way than he was used over his first three NFL seasons. Perhaps we will no longer be seeing Jamin in pass coverage, for example. Dan Quinn on Tuesday morning on Jamin Davis.
Yeah, we're really pumped on him too, and finding, you know, the things that he does best and the role to do that. And so we really feel like we've got speed and length at linebacker right now. And we're going to try to feature those guys in the very best ways. Part of over the last few years, we've played some people at different positions where they may line up at a strong safety, but playing backer or playing backer and line up at a different spot. So that's also what this offseason is about, that you find out, for a guy like Forbes, what can he do, or a certain tight end or a linebacker. And so once you can do that, might be a running back who's got, you know, really good ball skills, can you split him out and play him at receiver? So those are the things that's kind of like really fun about the off-season program and into training camp, because sometimes you'll do it, okay, let's see more of that, and other times you'll move around and try something and say, okay, that shit didn't work, let's try something different. Sorry if we're on live TV there.
No worries. This is not live TV. This is a podcast. But a big season coming up for Jamin Davis, especially with the team now having two better linebackers, at least if you go by recent seasons, and two free agent acquisitions this offseason, Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu. And then one more for you from Dan Quinn. He did address why the Commanders essentially chose safety Jeremy Chinn over safety Cameron Curl. The Commanders on March 14th officially announced having signed Chinn as an unrestricted free agent. His contract reportedly is a one-year $4.105 million deal with $3.495 million fully guaranteed. Curl, as a Commanders unrestricted free agent, signed with the Los Angeles Rams in a signing that did not officially happen until March 18th. Curl lingered on the open market for a while. He got a two-year contract reportedly worth just $9 million. And Commanders insider Sam Fortier of the Washington Post, he in a piece that was published on March 20th, noted that the Commanders this offseason never even made Curl an offer. Quote, in the end, it turns out Washington never made a formal offer to Curl, according to two people with knowledge of the negotiations. Ultimately, a team official said Washington didn't offer a deal to Curl because it believed veteran Jeremy Chinn would be a better fit at box safety for its new defensive scheme, end quote. Dan Quinn on Tuesday morning on Jeremy Chinn over Cam Curl.
Yeah, and one, I think Cam's a fantastic player, and I think he'll continue to do great in L.A. When you're looking at that process, like safeties, there's some that are down and play in the box that can play multiple roles, and that's what I think Jeremy can do. And there's some that, you know, play more on the deep end and in back. So how do we feature Jeremy at his best? I think he's down by the line of scrimmage. He's blitzing. He's guarding tight ends. And so that was one of the things that we thought would be really important. We want to play tight. We want to play aggressive. So the more man-to-man, the more blitzing ability, that's what we're looking for into that spot. And that's why I think having versatility helps. We talked about Davis earlier as a linebacker. He's got speed and length. What does he look like guarding tight ends? How would he play in the box? So whether we play three linebackers, two backers, one's down, one's back, one plays safety, you know, all those are on the table for me. But specifically for Jeremy, it was his ability to really play down in the box, blitz, hit. Those are the things I was looking for.
All right. Good explanation from Dan Quinn. But given the underwhelming contract that Cam Curl got from the Rams, what seems clear is that the Commanders preferred Jeremy Chinn over Cam Curl. That is surprising, given the way that Curl had been perceived. This is going to be interesting to follow moving forward. Were Adam Peters and Dan Quinn right in preferring Jeremy Chinn over Cam Curl? And when we talk about the big-time roster overhaul that has been engineered by Adam Peters with the Commanders this offseason, perhaps nothing speaks to that more than this preference of Jeremy Chinn over Cam Curl.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, the Capitals on Tuesday night had their biggest game of this NHL season so far, and the Caps on Tuesday night won. They came through a 4-3 overtime win over the Detroit Red Wings at Capital One Arena, where we had a playoff-like atmosphere and where the surge of our Caps continued. The Caps now are 13-5-1. Over their last 19 games, this off the Caps having gone 1-6-2 over their previous 9 games. The Caps for this regular season now are 36-26-9 and have 81 points, 2 points ahead of the Red Wings for the Eastern Conference's second and final wildcard spot. And the Caps now are just 1 point behind the Philadelphia Flyers for third in the Metropolitan Division. The top three teams in each division make the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Flyers lost at the Metropolitan Division leading New York Rangers 6-5 in overtime on Tuesday night as the Rangers clinched a playoff spot. But what a job by the Caps. All of a sudden, the retool does not look so bad. This game on Tuesday night was scoreless through one period. The Caps lost the second period 2-1, won the third period 2-1, and then the Caps scored in overtime, and scoring the overtime goal was second-line center Dylan Strome. His great season continues. Strome scored two goals, giving him 25 goals in this regular season for a new regular season NHL career high for goals for a second time in as many seasons with the Caps, and he had a team-high tying four shots on goal. Strome scored an even strength goal 4:49 into the third period on a backhanded putback shot, and Strome scored an even strength goal 1:55 into overtime on a tip-in shot in the low slot on a give and go with defenseman John Carlson, who had the primary assist on each of Strome's goals. But here was the call of that game-winning goal, John Walton on the Washington Capitals radio network.
And the Caps do get it back. LaPierre's speed making an impact. Gets it to Strome. Across to Carlson. Back to Strome. He scores! Dylan Strome! Game-winning goal in overtime! Good morning! Good afternoon! And good night, Detroit! Washington's lead for the wild card is at 2. They take down the Wings. 4-3, the final.
Yes, it was. As for the Caps' two other goals in the game, the breakout season of Connor McMichael continued. McMichael, the Caps' top-line center, scored an even-strength goal 35 seconds into the third period for his 17th goal of this regular season. And fourth-line center Nick Dowd, he scored an even-strength goal 2:09 into the second period for his 9th goal of this regular season. No goal, no points for top line left wing Alex Ovechkin, but he did have a team high tying four shots on goal and did have a game high 10 total shot attempts. This game happened on Darcy Kemper bobblehead night, but Darcy Kemper was not the Caps starting goaltender. Charlie Lindgren was the Caps starting goaltender for the 24th time in 32 games. Not that we needed any more confirmation of Lindgren and not Kemper being the Caps number one goaltender, but geez, Lindgren started on Kemper's bobblehead night. Lindgren stopped 30 of the 33 shots on goal that he faced. He gave up an even strength goal by winger Patrick Kane 14:40 into the third period to tie the game at 3. The Caps giving up that goal was disappointing, but Lindgren overall was not bad. He per natural stat trick stopped 10 of the 12 high danger shots on goal that he faced, stopped 5 of the 6 medium danger shots on goal that he faced, and stopped all 13 of the low danger shots on goal that he faced. The puck possession battle for the game was pretty close, but the Caps in the second period allowed the Red Wings to total 20 shots on goal. Lindgren in that second period got tested a bunch. He in that second period stopped 18 of those 20 shots on goal. The Caps went 1-2 on the penalty kill and 0-2 on the power play, and won despite being without multiple key players. Winger Sonny Milano did not play due to an upper body injury that he suffered in the Caps 3-0 win over the Winnipeg Jets at Capital One Arena this past Sunday afternoon, and winger Tom Wilson did not play due to suspension. This was game 3 of his 6-game suspension. The Caps are 3-0-0 during the suspension. Not bad. Next up for the Caps at the Toronto Maple Leafs, Thursday night at 7. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Thursday show, episode 793. We'll provide you with more on the Commanders. Also on Thursday's show, I'll talk Nationals, Orioles, Wizards, and college basketball. Thursday is opening day for the Nats and Does. I'll give you some thoughts on each team as it begins its 2024 regular season. The Wizards are home to the Brooklyn Nets Wednesday night at 7. Can the Wizards, will the Wizards extend their three-game winning streak, which is their longest winning streak of this NBA regular season, to 4 games? And VCU is at Utah Wednesday night at 9 in the quarterfinals of the NIT. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.
One thing I don't think we've asked you, and I apologize if we have, is before, I think, the end of the season, John Allen was on the radio talking about how he might not have the appetite to go through another rebuild. Do you expect him to be with the team this year?
Well, we're recalibrating, so we're not rebuilding.
That's what his words are on.